And it cut off on me just like how it does Tierra.
See, now you were teasing Tierra about that. So
I want to get it. I want to get it.
You need to apologize.
I will. Friday night here, it's Uncommon, and except tonight's episode is called Flow Therapy. Frank's sitting here with you. And I've got to introduce everybody out there to my lovely missus. Miss Coco's on my left-hand side. How you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm good. Okay.
We had a great week this past week, but we're sitting here. We can't even jump into how great our week was because we have some special guests in the house.
We have some very special guests. We have none other than, we have the Hewitt family. I have to say that. We have Miss Joanne Hewitt. She's not actually going to be speaking. She may say hey, but she's in the building. And we have Mr. Howard Hewitt sitting in.
Wow. You mean Howard Hewitt? The Howard Hewitt?
The Howard Hewitt.
And Joanne can't say nothing.
Wow, we have the Howard Hewitt and Joanne Hewitt. And then we even have the other sister.
And we have the author, the guest, our special guest this week, Adele Hewitt Veal. I'm sorry.
No. I
said it right. She's a book author. Her book is Shadow in the Mirror, and we're going to talk to her shortly about that. We have quite a few things to cover tonight, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we want to jump in real fast. We're going to jump in some hot topics real fast. And before we even get into talking to the Hewitts about, you know, what they're here for, we want to at least take their opinion on some of the real one quick hot topic, because we have to cover this one, don't you think?
We do.
We have to at least talk about it.
We also have our Ask Miss Q session, so we're going to have Carol call in shortly.
Okay, we're going to have
She will be calling in a moment. But in the meantime, we can talk about that topic. That topic is none other than Sandra Bland.
Now, for those of you out there who don't know, I'm sure Miss Coco is going to fill everybody out there of what happened. If she doesn't, I know I could. So,
I'll say my piece and then you can say yours. But I just know this story, it just keeps getting worse. And when you think it can't, there was a young lady who was pulled over in Texas. Mm-hmm. And
for those of you out there who don't know,
and the officer, at first, he went over to the car, and it was just supposed to be a routine stop. But it just escalated, and then he asked her to get out of the car. And what was interesting is he asked her to go off camera. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that. First of all, I don't think I would have done that at all. And I don't know if she knew or not, but she went to the side, and then it just, you could hear things going on, but you couldn't tell what was going on. Mm-hmm. Later, she was arrested. And after she was arrested, 3 days after that, she was found dead in her cell.
Okay, now I have to just say some things that you really highlighted over really quickly. We have to say, when she was brought over to the side, she was manhandled, and you could hear her screaming.
Yes, that's true.
On the side. Mm-hmm. Off that. That's what I think is everybody in the uproar. I know, personally, I saw it twice. And I was going to watch it a couple more times just so I could have more stuff to say. But I couldn't get past it the second time. I think it hit me enough where I was like, you know, this is very touching. And in a year where we have, for 2015, we have so many people who have been hurt by the police officers. You think this police officer would be smart enough to say, you know what? But he knew something was up. Well, he was planning on doing something because he made her go off camera.
Well, the first thing, one thing I forgot to mention is he said something to her about tasing her.
They'll light you up.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah. You know?
We're even getting ahead of that. Now, here's the thing. He asked her to put out her cigarette. When she was driving a cigarette. She was in her own car, space, and he came to her and said, I need you to put out a cigarette. Now, if I'm in my own car, if I have a cup of coffee or Pepsi or water, I don't think the police officer has the right to tell me what to do in my space.
Right.
Especially if you pull me over for what supposedly is a warning.
It wasn't even a correct stop.
I mean, right.
It was, you know. The reason why he stopped her wasn't anything against the law. She wasn't doing it. I mean, she just he stopped her failure to signal a lane change.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like you said, put the cigarette. That's her space.
That's her space.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's her space. So, you know, if my thing is that if he hadn't, he stopped her unlawfully,
right,
for nothing. And if he hadn't stopped her and just, or even if he stopped her and just gave her a ticket and told her to go on, she would be alive today.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know,
and what happened in those 3 days? Why was she in an orange jumpsuit? I mean, there's just so many questions. Like, what's she? I don't know.
Right. What do you have to say?
Well, it was just that the police officer's ego got a little bruised.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was his ego.
Now, why do you say that?
Because when she would not comply with what he was asking her to do, you know, is letting him know, you don't have the control here.
Right.
You have no right here.
Right.
And his ego got bruised.
I think it did also. Hold on one quick second.
As a book author would say, that's the right thing she should say. But what were you going to say?
Can you hear that? Because I can hear. Okay,
I can
good.
Hear.
Okay. Well, I think it had a lot to do with his ego. And I think that's really unfortunate because he took it to a whole nother level because of his ego.
Now, here's the thing that everybody was talking about today. Was it because it was a man, woman? Was it, you feel it was black, white, man, woman, officer, pedestrian, or a combination of all of the above? You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I thought about it for a second. I was like, nah, I don't even know if it's a clear-cut black-white issue. I think it was more so of a policeman being told what he wasn't going to happen because it was a woman driver. Now, I think that's what I think. I think if the woman was white, that probably still would have happened. That's my opinion. I could be wrong.
I don't know whether if she was white it would have happened.
I don't either.
I don't know whether it would have happened like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, you know?
Because I might be mistaken. I don't know. But they said that he had just pulled somebody else over before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it just, you know, it went smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't even get a citation.
Yeah.
So that's not a good look. But then the most disturbing part about that was the fact that they later showed a picture with her in a jumpsuit. Now, everybody else who was brought in and detained for that short amount of time had regular clothes on. She had on the jumpsuit, and then somebody said it looked like she was actually lying down. So it doesn't even look like, you know, so it looks like they took the picture with her lying down, which, I mean, so they think that she was actually already dead.
Wow. Well, I mean, we can talk about this for
a long time.
I just finished watching the show of this on Comedy Central. They were talking about it for a while, so that's why it's still, and I think it's still going to be relevant for the next week and a half. You know, people are getting behind it. But anyway, we've got some guests in the house. You're listening to Flow Therapy. If you want to call, the number is
888-414-1732.
Now, we're going to take a quick break for some commercials, and when we come back, we're going to dive into the author's book and what the book was about, what gave you the inspiration, how long it took. I'm going to ask all kinds of questions. She's going to ask some questions, too. And Howard Hughes was going to stand in and say, I don't know.
He loves it. He talked about it the other night.
Not saying anything.
Well, we're going to break for a commercial. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
MegaFest is returning to Dallas, Texas, August 20th through 22nd. And we've got even more in the best three-day faith and family festival on the planet. Inspiration, music, comedy, entertainment, youth, and more is coming back to thrill you again. MegaFest 2013 was awesome, but MegaFest 2015 is going to be even bigger and better. Register now at mega-fest.com.
Nissan Altima. With up to 270 horsepower, blind spot warning, and premium interior. For a limited time, lease Altima just $189 per month, or choose 0% financing for up to 72 months. Altima, the ride you can always rely on. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com. Innovation that excites. Nissan Altima.
Say goodbye for now. we'll have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes.
You're listening to Flow Therapy, and this is Coco sitting here with Frank, and we have Adele Hewitt Veal.
Sound like you going Howard blank on Hewitt. Her name. Sound like she went blank on your
Hewitt
name.
Jr.
No.
See how she gave me a hard time Hewitt. In the night. See how turnabout is fair play.
See? Oh, yeah.
We, gotcha.
That's wrong. That's gotcha. Wrong. Well, we're excited. We are so happy to have you all here. Carol is calling in, and she says that it's not ringing.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll fix
so
that.
So we'll figure it. When she calls in, we'll grab the call. But in the meantime, we are going to talk about this book. I hear it is climbing up the bestsellers list.
Really?
Shadow in the Mirror.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Shadow in the Mirror.
Well, let's talk about it. What's the book about?
Well, it's about a woman who has DID, mm-hmm. Dissociative Identity Disorder. It used to be called multiple personality.
Oh, okay.
Some time ago. And she actually falls asleep, and when she wakes up, it's 10 years later.
Wow.
And she's having to deal with everything that her alternate personality had done.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it gets really, really good.
Wow.
Without telling the story.
What made you even want to write that book?
No, what actually happened, it was just a simple pair of glasses. Mm-hmm. You see, I'm a writer, but mm-hmm. I write poetry.
Uh-huh.
And I bought a new pair of glasses that just told, it just made a statement,
mm-hmm.
you know. And somebody said to me, oh, man, every time you put those glasses on, you don't even look like the same person.
Wow.
Your whole attitude, everything changes. Well, being a writer, my brain starts clicking, and I'm thinking, oh, man, that would be a great story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change of hairdo, change of perfume, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I did what any normal person would do. I outlined it mm-hmm. and took it to my sister, who mm-hmm. is the author in the family. I took it to Carol. Mm-hmm. And Carol said, oh, no. And this is what I love about my family. My family will push you out there and make you, you know, and stretch you.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, no, I can't do this for you. You have to do it.
Wow.
Because I can't be as true to your characters as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went home and I'm thinking, I said, oh, man, I can't write this book. I can't write a novel.
Mm-hmm.
I can write poetry. I cannot write a novel. And immediately, I saw myself being stretched.
Wow.
What do you mean by stretched?
Just stretched.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, you mean stressed in emotionally?
Yeah.
Or mentally? Or for
physically,
the book? Physically?
Just being okay. stretched. Mm-hmm. And the words that dropped in my spirit at that moment was, you can't stay in your comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and experience growth.
Mm, very true.
So I knew that I had to get out of my comfort zone mm-hmm. and go ahead and write the novel.
Wow. And as you were going along, did you start to get like your stride and say, you know what? Yes, I'm doing this.
Right. Because what you have to do to write something like mm-hmm. this, you have to do research.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go into a disorder like this without knowing something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing the things that I learned. When we were kids, we watched a movie called Three Faces of Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned about Eve was she had like 20-some personalities.
Wow.
But the reason they called it Three Faces of Eve was because only three of the personalities could inhabit the body at one time.
Oh, okay.
And anytime another personality had to come in, one of the personalities had to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, 20 years after the movie had aired, there was a woman, Carolyn Sizemore, who wrote the book I Am Eve.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of her personalities
that
actually wrote a book. And the same thing happened. Oh, well, then we had Sybil. Everybody knows
right,
about Sybil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there one that I thought was amazing was Kim Noble, and she was on the Oprah show some years back.
Mm-hmm.
When I pulled up her case study and her story, she had a young girl sitting beside her in a chair. The young girl's name was Amy. She was 14 years old. Well, that was Kim's child,
wow.
but Kim never remembered giving birth to her.
Wow.
So there was a serious time gap there. And so it showed me that there is such thing as we always have known that there were time gaps,
mm-hmm.
but for one to be so lengthy,
that's where
I got these ideas and just put them in the book and wrote the book and the story. It just weaves a beautiful story of love and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people are reading it because of the story of love and forgiveness, or are they reading it because they can relate more personally to it?
I mean, I don't want to say that there are a lot of people out there walking around with DID,
yeah.
but but I will say this. There have been quite a few cases where it was misdiagnosed,
mm-hmm.
and they're in the hospital for being schizophrenic
mm-hmm.
or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is because it's just a good story. What do you think, Howie?
Yeah, I think it's a good story. The way that... The way that you wove it, the way that, you know,
Because I like to read, but I don't read as much as I should. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, because Dale, she was sitting there, she was like, read the book. And then I didn't have, it wasn't on Kindle yet or mm-hmm. anything like that. So she sent me the thing that's on the manuscript on the computer. And so, mm-hmm. like, I couldn't, if I'm in a plane, which is where I mainly read, mm-hmm. then, like, you know, you got to go online, or if you right. didn't have Wi-Fi, I couldn't go online. So I copied, like, the first three or four chapters. Mm-hmm. I think it was first three chapters. So I went on, I got on a flight, and then I read the chapters. I read right through them, and I'm like, and right at the end of the chapter is, like, a part where, what's going to happen?
You wish you had the book.
The phone rings, and she couldn't believe who she saw on the other line. Who was it? I don't know. So I couldn't find out. And it took me like about a week.
Oh, wow.
And then he calls me and he says, who was on the other end of the line?
So, but it was good.
That's funny. But here's the thing. Were you at that time more harsh because it was your sister and she wrote, or... You know, because with my siblings and my wife and everything else, I'm brutally honest because I feel that I want them to put their best foot forward.
Put the best foot forward. I mean, right. you're going to be brutally honest as far as that's concerned. We came up listening to Carol, our sister Carol.
It was dark.
And yeah.
The darkest nightmare.
We heard this one book forever that she was writing. She's more sci-fi type of thing. And so, you know, it's you ask the questions and all that. If something didn't feel right or whatever, then yeah, you're honest because you wanna see it win and wanna see it be the best it can be.
Right.
And that's funny because I can remember when Carol first asked me to read one of her books, her first book, and it was
so amazing because I sat up all night long, mm-hmm. and if it's good, mm-hmm. you totally forget who wrote it.
Right,
you're mm-hmm. you're invested mm-hmm. in this thing, you know, and you just want to finish it. So,
yeah, it was good. It's a really good book.
What he just said, because he's sitting so far back, it was like, yeah, it was good. It's really good.
Check is in the mail.
Yeah, the mic is right in. This mic right. Well, you know, I don't want to take. I'm taking.
No, go
on.
Go.
I know being an author and everything else can be difficult. I know a lot of authors. I've interviewed a lot, and a lot of them say the same thing. Consistent, you know, about one thing. About it's a struggle to write a book to pull it out of you when you know it's good, and sometimes you're just not. You don't really feel that even though it's finished that this is what you really want because you want to keep doing it. Is that same thing happen to you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you'll end up. You'll continue to edit and edit and edit, and you have to finally stop and say mm-hmm. that's enough. Yeah, that did happen.
Can you now? I asked that to ask. Are we going to get a part two? Since that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's already started.
Oh, there you go.
Oh wow.
They set up a part two. Okay. Yeah. So, do we have the exclusive on that? Do we have the exclusive on that? Does everybody else know?
There's a part two.
There you go. There
that
you go.
That sounds exclusive. Yeah.
You sound like exclusive to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Well,
exclusively saying.
That's the news, man. And you know me, Howard. I do this news stuff all day.
Well, I say let's take a commercial and we'll come back and hear a little bit more about Shadow in the Mirror and talk to Howard about what he has going on. He has a little something to share.
He does?
Also.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Hi. I'm Stephanie. I have a confession to make. I'm obsessed with the smell of trash bags. But not just any trash bags. I'm obsessed with these. Glad trash bags with Gain. Ooh. As you can see here, they come with Febreze to neutralize odors. But what makes these Glad bags so incredibly irresistible is the Gain scent. Oh, it's so good. I mean, hello, it's the Gain scent in your kitchen. I mean, come on, I can't get enough of it. It's so perfect. Okay, enough talking. Let me show you how incredible these Glad bags are. I mean, it's so
good. New Glad trash bags, now with the irresistible scent of Gain.
The odds of this daughter of a clergyman spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org.
MegaFest is returning to Dallas, Texas, August 20th through 22nd. And we've got even more in the best three-day faith and family festival on the planet. Inspiration, music, comedy, entertainment, youth, and more is coming back to thrill you again. MegaFest 2013 was awesome, but MegaFest 2015 is going to be even bigger and better. Register now at mega-fest.com.
Friday night here, Uncommon is back with you. Frank is sitting here trying to wait for Coco to come in, and she's trying to bring in a couple of other people. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit more to the author, and we're going to push another button, but we're going to also jump in and talk to. Okay, I guess that's not going to happen. And that's not. Would that be considered a technical difficulty because she didn't show up? Well, she's not going to do it?
Yes, that was a technical difficulty on our end. On our end.
I'll take that hit. Anyway, you're listening to Friday Night. It's Friday Night. It is called, this. I got too many shows in my
flow
head.
Flow therapy. We oh are goodness. Flow therapy.
Howard,
I do too many shows during the week, brother.
Speaking of which, see, that's what he's going to talk about. We're going to have Howard tell us about Wednesday night, Hollywood Nights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we launched our show, myself and Steve Russell Hart and from Troop. So it was good. I think we got some good stuff, you know, good information. That's the main thing is, like, you know, getting information out there.
Right.
You know, about the format.
MegaFest is returned.
We listen to independent artists. And, you know, give our opinion as to what, you know, what the songs and stuff. It was good. It was cool.
He was very laid back about that. Like, I mean, he was so laid back.
Well, because he's laid back all the time.
I know.
He's laid back. I'm not, you know.
You didn't realize.
Hey, man, we're going to do that.
I know, but
that's
I'm just
tiring.
Saying, here's the thing. You're opening up the doors for a lot of artists out there who are independent, who are trying to break through. And you know, like I know, because you're an artist, dog, that field is ridiculously packed. There's tons of people trying to make it. You're opening up the doors for a lot of people, at least to be able to give something and let people hear their music. And there's no strings attached. It's like, hey, you know. Mm-hmm. And not only that, they're going to really take what you have to say versus some guy from England. I'm not saying no name, sitting there that nobody knew before he got on TV. Sitting there telling them about how what they think about their music when they're singing somebody else's song. You know, you're listening to people give them music that's their song that they made and produced.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to the show, afterwards, mm-hmm. and I was blown away by some of the things you were saying because I didn't pay attention. You know, Howard was saying the orchestra and the way the song was going mm-hmm. in and out. And he even called somebody a crash. Like, he crashed.
Oh, yeah, that's what
wreck.
Steven said. It was a train
the
wreck. That's a term that we've used all the way in recording and stuff. And it sounds like a train wreck, man. You got to get in there and suss out the notes and stuff that are make mm-hmm. sure everything's flowing the way it's supposed to flow.
But here's the thing. It didn't sound like a train wreck to a normal guy like me. I didn't know, you know, so that's why I like the show, because you're teaching while we're listening.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, see, there's especially in live performance. I mean, we're up there on stage when I'm with my band and stuff. We make mistakes all the time, but nobody knows that. Mm-hmm. The audience doesn't know that. And we don't make the mistake and then stop. Oh, golly. You know, that's the last thing you do is like, wait. We got to start this song all over again. No, you can't do that.
So give me a telltale sign, because next time I know when you mess up.
Well, he's not going to tell everybody.
Give me one thing.
Oh, man, it's like, you'll never know.
That's true.
You never know, unless it's just so bad. And there's, you know, and hopefully you never get to that point where it's just so bad, where right. it's like, good Lord. I mean, but that's why, you know, when I do, and I do shows, I do, you know, 80, 90, 100 shows a year.
Wow.
And so, you know, when people, there's a lot of different ways to do a show. I have my band, and I have my scaled down version of the band. Then you have, you know, live to track. And mm-hmm. I've been doing live to track forever. People like, you know, people love the live to track show just like they love the live show.
Right.
Because, you know, I put time and into the track show. It's not just, you know, a song starts, fades out, I talk.
Mm-hmm.
Another song starts, fades out, I talk. It's not like that. It's like I went in actually with my band and put and recorded oh. the way that I would do a live show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
so
nice.
So with the right sound system, I mean, it's like huge. It's big.
Nice.
You know, but... But like, you know, you have some people, man, that just, you know, they don't put the time and effort into that whole thing. So,
right, right.
You know, so, yeah. So it's different ways to do shows, different ways to. And then that's why I brought up the point, because some people have this thing. Oh, we have a band here. You can use our band.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, no, we can't do that. Because, and I tell them, I said, I you know, I try to be as you know, nice as possible,
right?
But it's like, you know, I tell them I'm not coming to entertain your people,
right?
You know, I'm not coming to be a band leader.
Yeah,
I'm coming to entertain your people.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, if I got to be up there worried about whether your band is going in and out of the songs the right way,
right?
I'm not entertaining people. I'm a band leader,
right?
And
unless they want to pay you to be a band leader, then we have another conversation.
That's too much. That's too much work, though. It's like
really?
Work. Oh man.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to love like whooping a band in shape. You know, you got 2 days or a day or whatever, but I don't like it now. It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much work.
Yeah,
he said so 2 days. Work. Like, I didn't know it even lasted that long. I thought you walked in for an hour or two. Okay, you all suck. Let's roll. You know, that's why I thought it was that simple. Oh,
yeah,
you're good.
It's not that.
That's why I'm saying he's teaching me and he's teaching other people out there. They don't know. That's why I'm like, I think it's very interesting. Now, since you're sitting there by yourself, and this obviously is a very talented family, you've got to do something too, because I can't imagine. Like,
gets on our nerves professionally.
She does. So I'm going to roll the tape. Please introduce yourself to everybody out there who you are. Yeah, we put you on the spot. Yes, we did, because this is what we do.
So, that's what you do.
Yes, this is what we do.
I'm Joanne Hewitt.
Uh-huh.
And I actually am the business part of the family.
There you go.
I run the business. Anything they want to do, they run it by me first. Mm. And I will actually tell them if they can do it, if they can't do it, how much it's going to cost them. And
she's the brains, business, handles the money.
Even though Howard talks about me, I'm the business.
She still owe me $50.
I owe
That's
you more
I'm
than
talking
that.
About that. She owes me $50.
Well, here's the question I want to ask all three of you, and you guys take your time asking this. A lot of people come in the business, and they try to bring their family in the business, and almost 90% of it fails. He's laughing because he knows. Right? He's like, 90% of it fails. That's a fact. I being that doing what I do, I see it all the time. Athletes do it all the time. Yeah. Musicians do it all the time. Movie stars do it all the time. How did you guys make it work?
Well, you know what I think it is that we all know to stay in our own lane. Mm-hmm. You know, Howard's a singer. I'm not going to get up there and try to sing with Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we're in the background doing the doo-wop.
Doo-wop.
So that's, we the doo-wops. But we're going to stay in our own lane.
Mm-hmm.
I write poetry, and now I've written my first novel. Carol is the same. We all write, but we all write in our own lane.
Mm-hmm.
Joanne, I'm telling you, I can go to Joanne and I can say, okay, Joe, this is the scenario. They're doing this, they're dancing, they just came to this part where he just recognizes something about her. And what does he say?
Mm.
And I'm looking at Joanne. Joanne says, well, he says. And she tells you what it is. I'm writing it down. I said, that's great. That's exactly what I needed. But she's like a soundboard, you know. We're just doing a lot of brainstorming.
Interesting. Joanne. Now, being the business partner in the family, has it then been some things that you just had to say no to and you were arguing with them? And they were like, no, we want to do this, we want to do this. Because, you know, are you that person?
No, we actually bounce things off of each other all the time. And I have much respect for all of my siblings because they are talented. Mm-hmm. And again, like Adele says, we all stay in our lane. I tried to write poetry before. You don't want to hear it. So I tried to sing like Howard. You don't want to hear that either. So we all stay in our lane. And
yeah, we sang, but we were the background.
We were the background. We sang background, but to get out in front and try to sing. Try to sing like Howie, we're just not going to do it.
Married and everything.
Yeah, we got married. All right, Howie.
Mad. And having babies, I don't want to say
well,
that.
Well, you can't have one.
Dude. I mean, we were the Hewitt Singers. We were like the Hewitt Singers.
And we were good.
Yeah,
we were real good.
We
used to kill, boy. Oh, that's our family. I was like, I was 10 years old, 10, 11. Mm-hmm. And then you guys were, I'm not gonna say older. all my sisters are older than me. We have a brother who's younger than me, but for a long time I was like, three years before Jeffrey, our brother's 3 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. But all the girls are older. And they don't, you know.
But he tries to boss us around.
They still do what I say. Still do what I say. And but we were the Hewitt Singers. We used to tour all over the place, up and down the East Coast, you know, the Gospel Children's Circuit, Canada.
Wow.
You know, all that. I remember going to, we played a big thing in Chicago, with Jesse Operation Jackson. Rainbow, you know, Jesse Jackson, Jackson, all that stuff. A bunch of people, you know, big gospel show, Voloneers, Pilgrim Jubilees, a whole bunch of guys. We're walking to the arena, and we got out the car, and we're walking, and Dale says, she's walking, and she says, Illinois. She's looking at license plate. Illinois? There's people here from Illinois, too?
That's wrong, Howie. That's wrong.
On the air to a lot of people.
Illinois?
That's really wrong.
It was funny, man. But we had a good time. I remember because my mom used to tell us what to do. You know, she was like and she used to tell me, well, when you see one of those old sisters singing, you know, we see one of those old sisters, they start rocking and they start crying. She said, you go and you sing to them. I'm like 10, I'm 10, 11 years old. Okay, Mom. All right, good. And we're in New York. I think upstate New York, we were doing this program. And it was at the church. So it was an afternoon program or whatever. And so, like, you know, I'm singing. We used to do the 23rd songs. The Lord at his high voice is my shepherd that I cannot want. He making me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, and then lie down and repent. And then he lifted my soul. and then I'm singing, I run and I stab. They comfort me. The night prepares the day. When I see this old lady, she's in the one pew, she's on the inner pew, and she's rocking. Oh, hallelujah, right? And so I went and sat on the arm of the pew in front of her. And sat there, and I'm saying, I prepared a table before. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the day. And I get up, and I start walking down the aisle, and I say, then I rest. I hit this high note. All of a sudden, I hear this, like that. And I turn around, and this lady's running down the aisle, and she grabs me up in this bear hug, and I'm like, you know? And it took my mom, it took the deacon and the minister of the church to get that lady off of me, and I was like, I was traumatized. But then I was like, oh,
he was dead.
I was like, well, that's interesting.
Now, he was 10.
Oh, 10, 11 years old. I was like, oh, no, man. But, you know, it was like, then you figured, I think that was the first time where I saw really the way music can sway somebody's spirit.
Wow.
And the way it can, you know, when you have, like, you know, that type of ability, you know, blessing.
Yeah.
It's a blessing, actually. It's not, you know, something to take lightly. I mean, I took advantage of my advantages when I was younger, the whole thing. But all in all, it is, you know, somebody's spirit, the way you become, the way you can sway their spirit, the way you can sway their attitude, emotions, and the whole thing. If they're, you know, having a bad day or whatever, and you can have a part in you know, making that better, and touching their lives. You become the soundtrack of somebody's life.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's something to be, you know, that's something to be, like, you know, honored and to be really respected. And even when we were, like, you know, we touched people's lives, you know. And it was a good thing. It was really, we had a good time. We had fun.
That's amazing. I mean, and at that age, to have that effect on someone, that, I mean, that's powerful.
There's a lady here, I'm going to shout out to her, April Sutton. You remember, she's from Akron.
Yeah.
April Sutton from Akron. Mm-hmm. And she's gone on, she's been a reporter for BET back in the day.
Oh, wow.
She came from Akron, and she's a good friend, and she's done a lot. And now she deals with dignitaries from different countries and all kind of different stuff. Her mom is still in Akron. She goes back all the time, but we talk, you know, a lot. We talk periodically, and she says, and she'll call me every holiday. She'll call.
Nice.
Just calling my homeboy. I remember when I saw you, this little young boy, get up and like, you know, and you just tore the church down and all that. And so, you know, just how proud she was. And, and that's, you know, so you become, you know, a part of that person's life. And,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So it's a position not to be taken lightly at all.
I agree. Do you, Joanne, and you, Adele, miss singing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Make me mad.
We have to say, no, we do. We miss it.
And when we get together at somebody's house, we're always breaking out into a song or something like that.
Come on, how we sing. No.
No, he won't sing with us anymore, though.
And babies.
He's just mad.
I had to go to the devil's music.
But we made your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches
That's
for
right.
the road.
That's right. Dude.
And Necco wafers.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, hey, it was a talented family. Yeah.
Very.
We had a good time. I remember football. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I played peewee football.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I remember one time we were supposed to go somewhere, and we were going to miss, like, about 2 or 3 days of school. Because usually we would go on the road in the summertime. But this one thing came up, we were going to miss 2 or 3 days of school. So that meant I had to miss 2 or 3 days of practice, football practice.
Wow.
So I told this Coach Gino, big black guy, man, huge, 350 pounds. So.
Wow.
And so he says, I said, Coach Gino, I got to go up, I forget where we're going, with my family. I'm going to miss about 2 or 3 days of practice. He said, well, you know, Hewitt, either you're going to have to, like, figure out whether you want to do this, play football or do this music thing. You know, and I'm like, I got to have a I make a choice. So I took off my shoulder pad, handed my helmet over. I said, here you go.
Really?
You know, yeah. I
Plus,
mean, but,
Mama wouldn't let you do that.
No, she booked the show.
Yeah.
I'd rather deal
with...
That
was with, her cash.
Yeah. I'd rather deal with the wrath of Coach Gino than my mom.
Wow.
So, but it was, now he said, oh, I'm responsible for his career.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, made him make a choice.
Yeah. Everybody wants to say they did 2 cents.
I know.
Right.
I know.
Well, I did too, because I helped you take a right when you was going to take a left down the street.
Yep.
I helped you forward that way. That's how everybody's going to do that. But anyway, we're gonna. It's Friday night. It's Flow Therapy, and should we play this song? Because you know we got 15 more minutes.
Yes, please.
Okay, we're getting ready to play this song. You wanna?
This is Howard Hewitt's "Call His Name."
Looking back on all our yesterdays, did we do our best and were we all that we could be? We could toil over each circumstance, but oh, I see a finger on the trigger now. Don't they know his word changes things? And don't they know about the love it brings? The world's full of ups and downs, but he left us a way around it. All we got to do is call his name. In his word he said he'd never leave, never will forsake us. On this we can depend and are courageous. His love is true, no mystery. But oh, can we fight our way through crime and violence? Oh, statistics stayed on the news of violence. Oh, will our children grow? Will they survive? The world's full of ups and downs, but he left us a way around it. All we gotta do is call.
Say hey, Coco.
Hey, Coco.
Howard Hewitt in the background.
Okay.
You were listening to "Call His Name" with Howard Hewitt. We're coming back here with Adele Hewitt Veal, and Joanne Hewitt is in the building, and also Howard Hewitt. we're having some fun. We have been listening to Adele talk about her book, Shadow in the Mirror. And we've been going over a few things, but this is a very talented family. They were singing. Howard was telling us a story about when he was 10, 11 years old, and he started singing, and he was traumatized by this older woman who was caught up in the spirit. But it just goes to show you what music can do.
And we used to like watch people get caught up in the spirit and say, hope the spirit don't get us.
A.
B.
C.
D. That's crazy, man.
But now we have the book author who's in the building, and we are going to have the pleasure of hearing Ms. Veal. Mrs. Veal. She's getting Mrs. ready to. Veal. She is going to
like
say
lamb chops.
A poem.
Well, let me just first just set it up a little bit.
Okay.
What happened was I was watching a show on the way a pearl is made, and I watched how it's just a grain of sand or a parasite that gets into that mouth of the oyster,
mm-hmm.
and the oyster begins to film over it with something called nacre,
mm-hmm.
and it as it films over it, that film is what gives the pearl that very beautiful iridescent look. But years later, it's no longer that irritant or the grain of sand or parasite that they see when they open up that oyster. Mm-hmm. What's left there is this beautiful pearl. And when I saw that, I said, wow, that's me.
Wow.
And then I had to admit that that's Les Kramer, the character in this book. And it's also us.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's things that we've gone through in our lives that are irritants to mm-hmm. us, but look at us. And so the poem goes like this. It says, I find the irritations of my life made me who I've become. And I've learned that wisdom is a gift God has given some. I've acquired knowledge of the simple things and understanding of the hard. And I've inhaled the scent of unbelief only when I've dropped my guard. Now it seems my heart is wearing scars, most hidden, some cut deep. And yet I know that where I've sown is where I also reap. I'm at the age where what goes around now stares me in the face. And my running to keep up with time is slowing down apace. In many ways, I know looking back on things I've done, well, it's not so much what I've gone through as it's what I've overcome. And so the oyster takes that sand of life, the irritations of the world. And as years pass and time matures, we become the oyster's pearl.
Wow.
All right, girl.
That's staying in my lane.
That's beautiful.
That was really, really nice. Howard can't say anything about that one right there because it was too nice for him to say
that. That was good.
Very
I
nice.
I like that poem.
So, you know what I think? You know what I thought of when I actually saw you say that? I thought of you standing on stage singing that in front of the deaf poetry people, and they all do this.
Yes.
Right? I thought of that. So now we have to dedicate this to you right here. This is that. So we're gonna give that to you. Thank you for that.
She did at my wedding.
My last wedding. my only wedding. It's the only wedding I ever had. We had a good time. It was fun. Mm-hmm. But she did a poem at the wedding. What was the name of it?
It was written just for you, so I don't know.
Oh, Make Me Feel Bad.
Well, it was written for you, so I forget the name of it.
I got it at the house. I forgot the name of it, though. But it was good.
I'm sure it was.
It was really
that
good.
That was amazing.
Yep. That's my sister. And she has a CD also, a Whisper in Time.
From a whisper to a touch.
From a whisper to a prayer.
To a touch. We don't mess
from
up your songs.
You know what I mean?
As a matter of fact, when I was just finishing up the... finishing up the CD, I called Howard and I said, okay, so I have From a Whisper to a Touch. And he says, oh, that's good. Do you remember that, Howard? I was in at the studio. I said, "That's good." He said, "That's a good title." And I said, "An inspirational moment with Adele Hewitt." And you're like, "Yeah, that's really good." So that's what it's called.
Well, we get ready to wrap this up. We got 5 more minutes. So before we walk out of here, can you please tell everybody how they can purchase the book, what the book looks like, where they can find the book,
We're doing it all
for people out there who are listening. We're also Periscoping. You can see it right now. If you're Periscoping, you can see it. It's called Shadow in the Mirror. Now, how can they get this? Where are they?
They can go on Amazon.com. They can go to BarnesandNobles.com. All of the online places carry the book. You can order it. Mm-hmm. You can go to Barnes and Nobles and have them order it for you. So, and it also comes on your Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, so now do you have Twitter, social media, and things like all that?
Facebook.
All that?
Facebook. AdeleHewitt.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on there.
Twitter. Yeah, everything's on here.
Okay,
Twitter.
Well, now tell them so they're listening. Tell them how they get. So your Twitter, what's your Twitter handle so we could find?
A verse for you.
Okay. So now we know we can find it on all the social media outlets. We can find it in all the Barnes and Nobles outlets, everywhere the books are sold and everything else. We know we can do that. Okay, good. Now should we be looking for the second one very soon? Or?
Well, yeah. It's going to be out pretty soon. Give me a couple months.
Okay.
Get it.
Okay, well, we're going to stay in touch with you so we can know.
Okay.
So we can stay.
All right. That sounds good.
Mr. Hewitt, tell everybody out there how we can follow you so we can stay in touch, because we're going to pump that show on Wednesday, Hollywood Nights. So
we're going to do Wednesday on Hollywood Nights. We're going to do me and me, Frank, and Coco, and Stephen Russell Hart. And you can go to facebook.com/ Howard Hewitt fan page. HEWETT,
right.
Not ITT, and you know,
people spell it ITT. Really,
yeah, a lot of people, especially
people.
When Jennifer Love Hewitt came into
the
scene,
right.
She spells it ITT. But we're holding out, and I'm not giving in, you know. And you know, you can go to Howard Hewitt fan page, and then that'll take you to the Twitter and Instagram account. And Joanne, you can find you.
Joanne has a mic right there. Joanne, tell everybody out there. Joanne, are you doing social media, Joanne?
No. Right here.
Nothing?
She has a new boyfriend.
Stop, Howard.
That's where we'll find you.
That's where you'll find her.
Look on her face, and she's broadcasting it to everybody. Oh, my goodness. She's turning pink.
That blow your other person.
I'm only kidding. Only kidding.
Oh, that is too much. That's too much.
That was a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's been a pleasure having you all. We really appreciate you. We appreciate you. It's Friday night. It's Flow Therapy. Frank's in here with Coco. We're broadcasting live on Uncommon Radio Network. We're also broadcasting via Periscope. So, Coco, you want to say anything else? Because we're gonna leave you guys with one more song from Howard Hewitt. But before we go, you want to say something?
This has been great. I've enjoyed it. I've had so much fun. And I'm wondering if I'm going to get the three of them to sing.
No.
They said no. Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to end with "To Thee I Pray."
See you guys next week, next Friday night, Flow Therapy on the Uncommon Radio Network.
When I turn on the evening news, what I see makes me so blue. People run, people trying to find another peace of mind. Whole lot of despair, frustration fills the air. Can't you hear me crying, please? We've got to fall down on our knees, raise our hands in the air, crying, please, Father, please. Father, will we ever learn to love each other?
It's a long, long, winding road. Some may never find their pot of gold. Won't anybody listen when you hear a baby crying, please? We've got to fall down on our knees, raise our hands in the air, crying, please, children, please. Father, will we ever learn to love each other? Today I pray, Abba, teach us we can learn to live together. Hear me, this day comes a time in life when you make a stand, put down your gun and take your brother's hand.
Thank you.